Welcome to Ringside with Eric Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am your Avalanche beat writer for ColoradoHockeyNow.com. Podcaster here at Mile High Sports, coming to you Thursday, January 23rd. The Avalanche have wrapped up practice. The homestand is wrapped up. They lost in overtime to the Winnipeg Jets, and they're heading out on the road Friday for a 3 games in 4 days homestand that will go through New York and then the other New York and then, of course, Boston. So in whatever order, I don't remember the order of the games, but they play Saturday, Sunday, and then I believe Tuesday is where they close it out. Saturday, Sunday, both 11 a.m. Mountain Time games, because those are 1 o'clock East Coast starts. So that's going to be really fun to cover over breakfast on a Saturday and on a Sunday. Late breakfast, I should say. But I wanted to get into a couple of things, starting with yesterday's postgame following the Avs' loss. Now, I want to preface everything I'm going to say with the fact that, and I've seen media members get dunked on social media and stuff, but I don't want this to come from a place where I'm a salty media member upset that a player won't talk to me, because that's not what this is. But I do want to talk about kind of, and I struggled with the idea of if I wanted to do this or not. Then I had chatted with Mark Kisla, who, if you guys remember, the old school writer, has been at the Denver Post for forever. But he's now at the Colorado Gazette, or the Denver Gazette, whatever the hell they're called. Columnist who was there yesterday, he wrote about this, and he wrote about the interaction because he saw the interaction happen with me. But he obviously wasn't part of it. But because he made it public, I figured, you know what, I'll talk about it anyway, even though I was debating if I wanted to talk about this or not. Again, this is not a media member being salty that a player didn't want to talk to me. I'm going to make some points over why I don't like what I saw yesterday. So the Avalanche, obviously, as you know, 5-game homestand. It's been a little bit of a rut lately, ever since that Montreal game that they lost 2-1 in the shootout, which was in the middle of their last homestand. They came out the very next day and the very next game, and they beat the Florida Panthers, and they did pretty well. And then they went out on the road, and I want to say the next game was Chicago, then Minnesota. They lost in Chicago. They beat Minnesota. It's been win, loss ever since that Montreal game, which I believe ended a 6-game winning streak. Maybe 5 games, but I'm pretty sure it was 6. I should probably have the schedule pulled up. I'm an idiot, but I'm pretty sure it was a 6-game winning streak. 6-game winning streak ends, and then it's win, loss. The rest of the way up until it got to the Winnipeg game yesterday on Wednesday, where it was 2 losses in a row, obviously one of them being in overtime. So the Avalanche have been in a little bit of a rut, as you know. The inconsistencies have been there. We've heard Jared Bednar make some pretty pressing comments here, talking about how he was disappointed with their play in a game that they won against the Rangers. How in that game against Minnesota, where they looked completely lifeless earlier this week, he made a comment something along the lines of, you get the pom-poms out and you cheer. That's how you coach a team through these inconsistencies. It was obviously very sarcastic. But then the Winnipeg game happens. They lose. And Bednar was quite the opposite, because he was right. He said that he liked the way they played and he liked the effort. And in the end, like, it was a 2-2 game going into overtime against the Winnipeg Jets. And it's a 3-on-3 overtime. And one bad move leads to a slapshot goal for Neil Pionk, something that looked very reminiscent to how he beat the Avs 2.5 years ago. But it's a coin toss. In the end, winning the faceoff or losing the faceoff, getting possession or losing possession, one bad play or one bad person out of being one player being badly out of position could alter the entire overtime quickly, as we saw in 17 seconds, just because it is a 3-on-3 and every player matters that much. Now, with that being said, yesterday was still January 22nd. Yesterday was still game 49 out of 82. The Avalanche are going to right the ship. Because the last time we thought they were having a little bit of a slump, they righted the ship. And it was after they got Wedgwood and Blackwood. They couldn't score goals for a little bit. Then they figured it out. Eventually, they're going to figure it out. They're going to win games. They're going to make the playoffs. Are they going to be a wild card team? Are they going to break into the top three? Which this week, they had an opportunity to really get a hold of those positions. And they failed those tests outside of beating Dallas. So it's anybody's guess. We'll see how it goes. But they're going to make the playoffs. The hope is they're going to get healthy. Val will be back eventually. Miles Wood is closer. Val is not. Maybe, maybe not on Landeskog, whatever. Regardless, they're going to make a move at the deadline. They're going to have a good team. They're going to win games. Now, here's the issue, and here's what played out yesterday post-game. Following the loss, going into the locker room. So the way it works, media, we get in the locker room. By the time they let media in, some of the players have already filtered out of the room. And they've gone on to like their shower area. They get their equipment off and then they head over to the shower area and then they leave from there. So by the time we got into the room, a lot of the players were already gone, which is normal. It happens. But usually you have about 3, 4, maybe 2, maybe 5, depending on the win or the loss, players that are there that are available to talk. And what usually happens is the media will break out into little scrums here and there. Sometimes we all end up at the same player. And if you've watched Altitude TV, or if you follow Guerrilla Sports, or if you follow or if you subscribe to the Colorado Hockey Now YouTube page, you'll see that a lot of the previous losses, the post gamers are Kale McCarr and then Mackenzie Blackwood. And the reason why that is because Nathan MacKinnon has not spoken post game throughout the entire homestand. Mikko Rantanen, I don't believe, did either, but I want to put a little bit of a asterisk on that because maybe he did against the Rangers and I need to double check, but I don't know for sure. But throughout the losses, I don't believe he spoke. And again, I'm not entirely sure on that, but I can double check. But Nathan MacKinnon did not speak. Yesterday, the entire media contingent that you guys know and follow and love and read, they all went to Kale McCarr. So very normal thing. One person goes there, people follow, especially after losses. You know, you don't have as many opportunities for players to talk to. Kale McCarr is always open to being that leader that steps up and answers the tough questions after the losses. I decided to go to Nathan MacKinnon. Now, MacKinnon and McCarr were the two players that scored yesterday. Nathan MacKinnon scored the only goal against the Minnesota Wild and did not speak. Nathan MacKinnon had 2 of the 3 goals against the Edmonton Oilers in that loss and did not speak. So I decided going to Nathan MacKinnon and getting a little bit of a different voice from the quotes that Kale McCarr has to give us every game. And the reality is, like, it gets old eventually to answer the same questions over and over again, especially during a homestand where it's every other night, where it's like, well, what happened? Well, we came up short. Well, what happened on the power play? Couldn't score there. Well, this or that, or breakdowns, or lack of shots, or lack of an early start, or whatever it may be. McCarr's been doing it every game. So to me, I felt Nathan MacKinnon would have a better grasp of that loss. So I walked over to Nathan MacKinnon's stall, and I do what I always do, and I kind of kept a little bit of a distance, let the player take off his skates, acknowledge you, and then hit him with a, you mind if I ask you a couple questions? Me, other media, whether people publicly speak about it or not, we've been shut down by Nathan MacKinnon before. It happens. It's all right. It's fine. The guy wears his heart on his sleeve. He wants to win. He hates losing, and he plays with a chip on his shoulder. He's that kind of guy. And that's okay. He's got a lot of fire in him. And in fact, that's why we all love to watch him play hockey. Because he's got that persona. And it suits him well. It's the type of game he plays. And it's what makes him one of the NHL's best. He's a hungry, hungry player. So we've all been turned down before. Sometimes more politely than other times. Yesterday, I kept my distance. 5 or 6 feet away, waiting for him. Take off his skates. He looked up and saw me. And before I can take a step toward him, he said, no. Before I can open my mouth, before I can take a step toward him, he said, no, go talk to Kale. Now, here is my problem. Nathan MacKinnon is one of the three leaders on this team with Mikko Rantanen and Kale McCarr. Nathan MacKinnon has not spoken throughout the entire homestand, even though most of those games, he is the person you want to talk to. Now, let me give you an example. The Dallas game, when Arturi Lehkonen, Jonathan Drouin, and Casey Mittelstadt go off for a combined 10 points, we're not going to Nathan MacKinnon. Nobody's going to bother Nathan MacKinnon. Hey, what did you think of Lehkonen, Drouin, and Mittelstadt? No, we're going to go to Lehkonen, Drouin, and Mittelstadt. Maybe even Scott Wedgwood, first game back, first start back, so on and so forth. But again, Oilers loss, 4-3. MacKinnon had two of the three goals. Minnesota loss, 3-1. MacKinnon had the only goal. Winnipeg loss, 3-2 in overtime. MacKinnon had one of the two goals. The other one was Makar. Go talk to Kale, he said. And I said, okay. And I turned around and I was going to go to Makar. But again, Makar's giving you the same answers every time. There's nothing that I'm going to use from what Kale Makar says that's going to make anything I write interesting. So rather than write about Kale Makar and what he says with the puck luck and the bounces, that we got to be better on the power play, we got to generate, we got to this, we got to that, the same shit he's been saying every game. Again, it's game 49 of 82. It's the middle of January. The playoffs are months away. Opening night was months away. It is the lull of the season. So there was nothing I could get from Kale Makar that I didn't get in the previous two or three or four or five losses dating back to previous homestands. But there is a big issue with what Nathan MacKinnon did there. There is an issue with the fact that Kale Makar is a veteran on this team. Makar has worn the A on his jersey for several seasons now. Makar has won the Norris Trophy. He's won the Calder Trophy. He's a Conn Smythe Trophy winner. He's also a first team NHL All-Star. And by the way, a Stanley Cup champion. In about 18 months from now, Kale Makar is going to make more money than Nathan MacKinnon. In about 3 weeks from now, Kale Makar is going to be, along with MacKinnon and Connor McDavid, the three biggest superstars to take part in the Four Nations Faceoff. And just like Nathan MacKinnon, Kale Makar doesn't always like to answer the questions, especially after losses. But unlike Nathan MacKinnon, he doesn't turn the media down. Now, if I ended my statement there, I would be the salty media member that just wants to talk to a player and is crying about it on social media or on a podcast. That's not what this is. The main issue that I have is the second part where he says, go talk to Kale. Because I don't know if he heard him. He probably didn't. But if I'm Kale Makar and I hear MacKinnon pushing media toward me, and I have to sit here and have six cameras in my face while I'm sweating and sniffling, answering the same dumb questions I answered two nights prior, because he won't do it and Mikko Rantanen won't do it. Mikko's hit or miss. He's good at times. He doesn't want to talk at other times. Always very polite, Mikko. Always very polite. If I'm Makar and I hear that while I'm answering another scrum of questions because MacKinnon won't do it and give me a chance to just get my skates off and leave, I'm not happy. And the reason why I listed out Kale Makar's accolades earlier is because this is not a rookie on the team. If Nathan MacKinnon has the respect and the stature of a superstar, Hart Trophy winner, Stanley Cup champion to say, I don't want this, there is something seriously wrong with the go talk to Kale part where you're pushing media toward a guy who also doesn't want to do this, who also has the stature of Conn Smythe Trophy, Stanley Cup, Vezina, that's wrong, Norris, Calder, Four Nations, best defenseman in the world. Like, there's a lot of things. Oh, and highest paid player. Like I said, Makar is going to pass Nate in 18 months. Now, I'm not trying to sit here and pretend that the Avalanche have a JT Miller, Elias Pettersson situation. That is very much not true. Makar and MacKinnon, as far as I'm concerned, have a great relationship and respect the shit out of each other. But I just did not love seeing Nathan MacKinnon do that because it makes me ask, where the hell is the leadership? How could you possibly say something like that and think it's okay, knowing, again, Makar is in the same situation as you? He doesn't want to talk, but the difference is he's not going to shoo media away. And sometimes players do, and I don't like to beat at that. That's okay. Val Nichushkin, since before his little Seattle incident, the first of his two playoff incidents, He shoes media away. He doesn't like to talk to media. I've seen other media members, past and present, get very pissed off, upset about that, and publicly shame him and talk about how he should just suck it up. It's part of the job. I hate that. English isn't his first language. He's a very reserved guy. I've seen him around Cherry Creek. He doesn't like to publicly, you know, talk to people or talk to strangers. Like, he's a very to himself kind of guy. So I don't like to beat at that. I'm never going to publicly talk about Val. And even when Val comes back from his suspensions, like the ones he's come back from, I never make a case to be like, this guy has to speak. When he's the player of the game and he doesn't speak, I don't care, because a player talking about Val is always going to give you a better quote, because I fucking love hearing Logan O'Connor or Nathan MacKinnon or Andrew Cogliano or whoever the hell that was on that team in 2022 talk about how he's a beast. He's one of a kind. He's a machine. He was our best player in the 2022 Stanley Cup final. I've heard guys say that over and over and over again. So I don't beat at things like that. I just do not like the standard MacKinnon sets. Hart Trophy, league MVP, Stanley Cup champion, 140 points, breaking records left and right, scoring these sick fucking goals left and right, and saying, go talk to Kale, when you know very damn well that Makar is of equal stature as you are in this league, on this team, and doesn't want to be in that position either. It really, truly makes me say, where's the leadership? And where's the leadership? It's in Gabe Landeskog. It's in Eric Johnson. It's in Andrew Cogliano. Those are three names that come to mind. Three veteran names that can tame the Nathan MacKinnon tiger. None of them are around right now. Cogs is around, not really, but kind of. Special assistant to the general manager, but he's not on the ice with these guys, not in the locker room. Gabe Landeskog is around, kind of, trying to recover. Not on the ice, not in the locker room all the time. It really bothers me that that's the standard Nathan MacKinnon sets. This is part of the issue that this team has had for a couple seasons now, where the guys at the top are so damn grumpy that it bleeds into the room, that when you acquire a couple of goalies that have a smile on their face, everybody gets excited, myself included. Nathan MacKinnon is an exceptional hockey player. Nathan MacKinnon can sometimes be a fiery guy, but Nathan MacKinnon needs to understand that the leadership and the standard he sets in the room matters as much, almost as much, I'm not going to overdo it, over-exaggerate, matters almost as much as his God-given skill and talent and the way he busts his ass off and takes care of his body to win hockey games, to score big goals, and to win a Stanley Cup. The leadership in the room matters almost as much in the sense of what it takes to win a championship. And the sooner MacKinnon realizes that, the better. Because as he grows in this organization, he's almost 30. He's 8 months away, not almost, but he's 8 months away from being 30 years old. When he's 30 years old and 31 and 32 and 33, there aren't going to be any more guys like Landeskog, Cogliano, Eric Johnson remaining in the league. He's going to be those guys. So when he's playing, when he's the age of Sidney Crosby, playing with guys that were 9 or 10 years old when Nathan MacKinnon won the Stanley Cup in 2022, he cannot set that standard. He's got to be better than that. That's where I'm kind of going with this, is the fact that something was badly just rubbed me the wrong way with the way that he shooed me toward Cale Makar. And it's something that I've heard fans talk about it on social. I've read fans talk about it on social media. I've heard people talk about it. There's a grumpiness in that locker room where we're all waiting for Gabe Landeskog to soar in and save the day. And the funny thing is, if Gabe Landeskog got healthy on April 1st or May 1st and re-entered the lineup and played the rest of his career, even if he was putting up 40 points a year for the rest of his career, he will fix that issue. Like, my goodness, is that guy a one-of-a-kind special individual human. But he hasn't been here in a long time. Like, Gabe Landeskog hasn't played in so long that the last time Gabe Landeskog played a game, Nathan MacKinnon wasn't even a 100-point player yet. He had never hit 100 points in his career. He's got two of them. He's on his way to his third now. One of them was 140 points. There's something seriously wrong with the way Nathan MacKinnon handled that post-game yesterday, with the way Nathan MacKinnon has handled this homestand in general, with the way that Nathan MacKinnon was glaring at media and not talking to anybody after practice on Thursday at Family Sports, where you've already had a full day to kind of regroup, or a full night to regroup after that loss to Winnipeg, heading on the road for three games and four nights. Leaders in the past, they talk. Leaders in the past step up. That shit matters. Nathan MacKinnon isn't doing it. I remember making a joke during the 2022 Stanley Cup playoffs, or during the regular season in general, because in 2021-22, that was still coming out of COVID, where the locker room access wasn't there. We always had players come join us at the podium where Jared Bednar does his press conference. There was always two or three players. Sometimes the media or PR would ask us who we want. Sometimes they would just bring players out. And they would bring out two or three guys to sit at the podium, sometimes by themselves, sometimes in a group of two. I always used to joke during the 2022 season that every time, and it wasn't every time, it was probably like 75% of the time, or maybe 60 or 70% of the time, but every time Nathan MacKinnon came up to that podium, majority of the time Nathan MacKinnon came up to that podium, sitting next to him was Gabriel Landeskog. And I always used to make the joke like, haha, they got to bring out Gabe Landeskog to sit next to Nathan MacKinnon to make sure that he doesn't do anything crazy. And it was a joke, but in a sense, it's not that Nathan MacKinnon is crazy. It's that Gabe Landeskog has earned the respect of Nathan MacKinnon, and MacKinnon respects the hell out of Gabe Landeskog, that sometimes having him there makes a difference. But again, MacKinnon's almost 30. This is about to shift into being his team. When he's 33 and 34 and playing with 21, 22-year-olds, he's going to need to learn to be the leader rather than shooing media, go talk to Kale. Not a good look, especially if you're the other players around him. Again, Cale Makar probably didn't hear him. I don't know if anybody did, because most of the locker room was emptied out by then. But if you're a young guy, not that he's here, but if you're Cal Ritchie and you're a few stalls away from Nathan MacKinnon and you hear that, what kind of example does that set? So, again, I don't want this to come off like the salty media guy. I couldn't care less what Nathan MacKinnon's answers to my questions would have been. The thing is, like to be completely transparent, when Nathan MacKinnon talks and he's in the mood to answer questions, because sometimes you've seen him, he does the one-liners, the one-worders, the you saw the play, what do you think? But when he's in the mood, that dude is a great quote. He's so in tune with the game that he breaks down things like I've never seen from anybody else. He's one of the smartest guys I've ever talked to. But he barely ever shows that side of him. And when he does, it comes after 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 different scenarios like this, where he's shooing media away, which is fine. But then following it up with, go talk to Kale. Don't love that. Now, we can talk about the game, but I don't think there's much to talk to. Like I said, the Avalanche played better. They looked better. They came away with a point. That's okay. Miles Wood spoke with media today following practice. Sounds like he's on his way to getting back in the lineup. He's going to travel. He's going to play. It sounds like he wants to play like as early as tomorrow. Or sorry, let me change that. Saturday. But we'll see how it goes. But Miles Wood is getting close. Val Nichushkin, hopefully over the next 5 to 10 games. There's 8 games left before the Four Nations break. So maybe right before, maybe right after. But we're getting real close. Now, with that, I do want to say that if you go to ColoradoHockeyNow.com, I put up the first edition of the Avalanche trade board heading into the trade deadline. The deadline is 6 weeks away. So excited to think and to get these discussions going on who you think is a good target for the Avs. Several names on this list. Let's see. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 names highlighted, with about 5 more in the honorable mention section. And this will continue to change and to be adjusted based off of new players that might be on the market that might make more sense, or current players who get traded or it becomes clear that they're not going anywhere. Maybe they re-sign an extension with their teams or something. So go to ColoradoHockeyNow.com to check that out. There's also an email subscription. Enter your email address to get all your posts in our inbox. Go ahead and subscribe to that so that you can keep up with all the articles as they come in. Subscribe to this podcast, Ringside with Arif Dean, on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a review on Apple. Leave a review on Spotify. If you do it on Apple, please leave some comments with that 5-star review. Share why you enjoy the show. But with that, if you made it this far in the podcast, bless your pretty little hearts. Let's make hockey for everyone, and we out you.